The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about, when his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together. She was found to be with child through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, an upright man, unwilling to expose her to the law, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said to him, "Joseph, son of David, have no fear about taking Mary as your wife. It is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived this child. She is to have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this happened to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, a name which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had directed him and received her into his home as his wife. The Gospel of the Lord. How are you all? You okay? Good. Good. Ready for Christmas? No? Yes? Somewhat? Excited about Christmas? Fearful about Christmas? Good. That's the one I'd like to talk about today. An interesting perspective, the fears and the anxieties associated with the Christmas season. It's an amazing thing. One would not be inclined to consciously think of people being fearful of Christmas approaching or being anxious about it. And yet there's a great anxiety for a lot of people. The fear, or even the dread of the approaching Christmas, it causes that kind of a fear in people oftentimes. And it's really not the religious side of the experience, but rather the fear is found somewhere else, in other events. Find fear in the opening reading. The prophet Isaiah says to Ahaz, the king, "Ask the Lord for a sign." And of course, the Israelites were known for asking for signs. "Show us. Show us that you're God, and show us again, and show us again." So Ahaz represents them, and he says to the prophet Isaiah, "No, I won't ask God for a sign. I wouldn't trouble him in that way." And Isaiah says, "Get over it. God is going to give you a sign anyway, like it or not. And the sign is the virgin is going to be with child. She will bear a child, name him Emmanuel." And now those events are coming around. For some people, the Christmas season generates fear or anxiety because of the extra workload. You got to work a whole lot harder, even though we say there's a Christmas vacation. It may not be a vacation. You seem to be using up all that time and that energy. If you're traveling to be with family, then it takes on some more dimensions. For some people, it's the financial strain that comes trying to keep up with the Christmas event. And if you are on a pretty tight budget, it is quite a challenge. If you're traveling to be with family, that's always a great one, right? No? Man, for me, used to be an event. We could stir some stuff up. And you always wondered, hey, how is it going to go? You get them all together, you know? Maybe we should leave some at home, and maybe we should stay at home, and all those things. They are all a real part of family systems. And journeying to be with family and wondering along the way, is it going to be okay? Is it going to be like last year? Is it going to be better? Is it going to be worse? Or where will the sting come from? Family systems is hard business, and particularly at Christmas time. It can be a real source of anxiety for some people. For others, it may be the death of a loved one or a tragedy that took place at that time of year. And somehow, with Christmas coming, it is always such a strong reminder of that reality. For people who lost a loved one during the course of the year or experienced a tragedy, it just seems to come to the fore again at Christmas time. Christmas just seems to magnetize it as you see families gathering together and people with their loved ones, and it can cast a real sense of loneliness or isolation upon different individuals because they just don't feel the spirit. It can generate a lot of fear and anxiety, and people thinking, can't wait for it to be over. That happens. Those are all very real. It also happens, hey, for people who are aging, sometimes the Christmas season just challenges them more. Hey, I've been living a long time. What does all of this mean? Does the experience of Christmas have a deeper meaning for me today, now that I am aging? Or does it bring with it an anxiety or worry? And all of those are very real. So for people who have worry or fear or anxiety coming on to Christmas, take heart. Because all of the major figures in the Christmas story had fear and anxiety. We begin with today's gospel, Joseph. What a great example. Joseph was afraid when he found that Mary was with child. Why wouldn't he be? It was before they lived together, and certainly he had to have all of these thoughts and worries and anxieties. Otherwise, we're denying his humanity. He had to have all of those feelings of angst and worry. And then the story relays, he went to bed at night, and I'm sure he was thinking about this. What am I going to do? And story relays, he had decided to divorce her quietly because he had a respect and a regard for her, and that would have been appropriate under Jewish law. But he goes to bed, and the Lord speaks to him. How does he speak to him? In his dream. You have dreams? You're not sure? Hey, if you're breathing, you have dreams. You know, you may not remember them all, but if you are a human being, you have dreams. My grandfather used to love to say at breakfast, hey, what dreams did you have? You know, and he would like to kind of interpret them. So we all have dreams. Psalmist says, whether we are awake or asleep, the Lord speaks to us. Does he speak to you in those dreams? Does he speak to you as you sleep, as you rest? Joseph must have been a pretty amazing chap. He must have had an extraordinary sense of integration to deal with those realities and to keep on pushing through. Hey, the easy way out would have been to divorce her quietly and to still maintain his own integrity and respect. But how did he know and understand that it was the Lord? And the angel said to him, hey, don't be afraid, Joseph. She has conceived this child through the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to take her into your home as your wife. And then Mary had the same fear, anxiety. The angel appeared to her. But the angel said to her, Mary, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. This is favor? Yes, makes you extremely different and distinct. You found favor with God. And the angel went on to tell her that you will have a son, and you will bring forth that son through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will name him Jesus, and he is the long-awaited Messiah. Through all of that Old Testament history, he was the one they were preparing for, and now you are going to be the central source of that birth. And Mary said, man, I've no idea how this is all coming about. But if this is the Lord's plan for me, let it be done to me. And the shepherds, the other central figures in the mystery of the incarnation, they were afraid. The gospel says that when the angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them, they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Listen, I bring you news of great joy today. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And they trusted God and went to Bethlehem, and they saw the child, and they came back to their own work the next weekend, right? Or the next few days, or whatever it was. But they came back to their own work of tending sheep. We live through that mystery in the very same way. How does it change us as we go back to our work? They all had fears. All of the central characters had fears and anxiety about God revealing himself, and we do too. We all have fears and anxieties. We have fears about the challenge of the mystery of Christmas. Where is the Lord going to birth himself and me? Maybe that would be the central question. As you welcome the Lord again in your life, where would you allow him to be born in you? And I think he gives us a pretty stout reflection. Where he chose to be born in the first place, it wasn't in the class and the upper class or the royalty or anything else. Right there in the stable. That's where he chose to be born. Because that might invite us to realize one great truth. That's where he wants to be born in you and me as well. And you think about it, we scurry around trying to fix ourselves up and do all of these things to get ready for the arrival of the Messiah. Where he wants to be born is in my stable. Am I afraid to allow him to be born in my stable? What fears would keep me from allowing him to be born just where he wants to be born, deep in my being, not up here, not a head trip, but right in the depths of my being? My stable, you know, my stable is that place where I despise, that place where I hate, that place where I refuse to extend forgiveness, that place where I am self-righteous and critical and judgmental and argumentative, that place where I am prejudiced. That's my stable. Am I afraid to allow him to be born in my stable? They all had fears and they all overcame them because they trusted that he was as good as his promise. Fear. Fear would be the only thing that could rob us of the real grace of the Christmas experience. Why not allow him to be born in your stable and just let it be and see where he leads you?